Michael Haas is the administrator of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Well, he's almost the administrator. He would like to be confirmed in that position permanently. Some Republican members of the state Senate have raised potential objections to his confirmation. And just a programming note, Wisconsin I has invited members of the Republican Senate caucus to come in to talk about Mr. Haas's ability to be confirmed. So, Michael, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
You and the commission would like you to have a confirmation hearing. Mm-hmm. Give us the short version of your opening statement. If you got that hearing to a Senate committee, why should you be confirmed permanently?
Well, Steve, I think everybody likes to be, would hope that they will be judged on their performance and their qualifications, and that's what I would like to outline for the Senate. Most immediately, I've been serving in this position for the last year and a half, and beyond that, I served in essentially the same position under the GAB, under the Government Accountability Board, as Division Administrator for the Elections Division. So I think I bring a lot of experience, knowledge about what the current issues are, what needs to be done to keep improving elections in Wisconsin, and frankly, who the players are on the national, state, and local level that we need to partner with to have successful elections in Wisconsin.
When Senate Majority Leader uses this term never to say you will not be confirmed, how do you respond?
That's not the clear impression I got when I visited with every member of the state Senate. After I was appointed by the commission unanimously, I visited with every member of the state Senate in late 2016, early 2017. It was clear to me that there was a clear majority of the Senate that did support my appointment at the time. And frankly, I don't think there's any reason to change that opinion based on my performance and the performance of the commission over the last 19 months.
Senator Fitzgerald has based his questions and the never statement based on the Department of Justice report that was released in early December, a report that you're well aware of. It was focused on the John Doe 1, I mean John Doe 2, and what the Attorney General called John Doe 3. Mm-hmm. So I want to ask you specific questions about that report. Page 8 says, you were one of dozens of officials, which include, I think, up to 60, judges, DAs, assistant district attorneys, GAB members, both former judges and staffers, investigators, and special prosecutors authorized to, quote, review and handle secret materials, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Okay.
That's what's in the report.
Right. Page 13 of the report does not, and I want to emphasize the not, does not list you as a member of what the Attorney General called the John Doe 2 core prosecution team. But it says this on page 13. Then GAB staff counsel Mike Haas was involved with reviewing and editing court filings. That's on page 13. Page 15 then says all of the attorneys in the core prosecution team, and he mentions you, were involved in the drafting and editing of court documents. What role, straighten this out, what role did you play in the John Doe 2 and what he calls the John Doe 3 investigation?
Well, I will say, while I think that there are many inaccuracies and incomplete statements in the Attorney General's report, that is fairly accurate. My role was limited in the John Doe 2 investigation. It was much more extensive in the John Doe 1 investigation that resulted in 6 convictions. But the John Doe 2 investigation, first of all, I was in a bit of transition from being a staff attorney to the division administrator for the Elections Division. So I took on a different role, many other different responsibilities. But there was litigation, as you recall, related to the investigations, separate from the investigation, related to it, contesting different aspects of the investigation. So I was asked as sort of an outside member of the team to review what other individuals had drafted before it was submitted to the court. Basically editing, logic, word choice, just to have another set of eyes on the briefs, which, by the way, I routinely do for the Department of Justice when they are defending the state election laws. We assist the Department of Justice routinely on legal briefs, and whether or not the Department of Justice wins those cases, which it does not always do, nobody is calling for the resignations of the attorneys who draft legal opinions or legal briefs simply because the court ruled against the state. My involvement was limited. It's also, I think, a little bit of an overreach to say that because a legal position did not succeed in court, that the individuals who argued that position should have some discipline or be terminated from their position.
Did you draft legal filings by the GAB?
No.
Did you apply for subpoenas?
No.
You did not?
No.
So you were on the secondary tier of decision-making on the GAB in terms of John Doe 2 and what he calls number 3?
Exactly, yes.
Did you advise on strategy of the John Doe?
I was not involved in decision-making as to, okay, this is the state of the law, this is the approach we're going to take. It was more, as I said, sort of editing, word choice. There's a team approach at the GAB, and so to the extent that there were legal issues involved, it was common for the attorneys to sort of discuss back and forth, what do we think the state of the law is, what approach should be taken. But as I was not involved in daily decisions, strategic decisions for John Doe 2 and this supposed John Doe 3, I was not involved in at all.
Well, you just mentioned John Doe 3, which is a term that the Attorney General used in his December report. Is that a fair characterization of the expanded investigative efforts of GAB?
I think it's an unfortunate word choice for the Attorney General to label that a John Doe 3. John Doe has a specific legal meaning, and for an attorney in Wisconsin to, in a court filing, throw around that term to apply to an investigation which was not a John Doe investigation, as an attorney, I don't think that's proper. Now, John Doe, what was called John Doe 3 by the Attorney General, grew out of the John Doe 1 investigation.
Yes.
The district attorneys who had initiated John Doe 1 found evidence that they thought may have shown there was illegal campaigning going on within state offices in the Capitol, which brought to mind, of course, the old caucus scandals. And the district attorneys said, okay, the GAB is the expert in this area. And they asked the GAB to review the evidence. The GAB, the board, found that there was sufficient reason to start a preliminary investigation, hired outside investigators. Those investigators reviewed some of the evidence, by no means a majority of the evidence, and came back to the board and said, there's not enough here for us to go on. And the GAB closed the investigation. All of that was done confidentially, as the statutes required, and it remained confidential until the Attorney General really released that information. So I think, to the extent that there are claims of partisanship in that instance against the GAB, I think people have to ask, why wouldn't the GAB staff go ahead and urge that there be a further investigation or prosecution? And furthermore, why wouldn't the GAB staff have leaked that information in the 5 years since the evidence was transferred to the GAB? It just doesn't make logical sense.
You mentioned the leak, which is the leak to the Guardian newspaper. Mm-hmm. I've got to be blunt. You didn't do that leak, right?
Right.
Do you know who did?
No idea.
Should the person who leaked be prosecuted?
Well, I think so. It's against the law. And, the files of the GAB, which were transferred to the Ethics Commission by the time the leak was reported, I mean, those agencies are a victim of a crime. Somebody leaked those documents. And the Attorney General, based on his report, has not been able to determine who.
The Attorney General's report speaks to the volume, 1.5 million emails, mm-hmm. and checking account records, and cell phone records. Do you believe as someone, but let me get this clear, you were not on the primary line of investigation. You were not part of the core prosecution team.
Correct.
But you must have been aware at the volume of information and materials that were being collected.
I really wasn't paying attention to that investigation because I wasn't involved. And first of all, as I said, all that evidence was collected by the district attorneys, and that's another mistake that people commonly make. The GAB did not collect that evidence. The GAB had no input into the search warrants that were drafted and executed by the district attorneys. The GAB really had no idea whether there was going to be five records or 500,000 records. Everything was turned over by the district attorney. So not only was it not me, it was not the Government Accountability Board that collected that evidence.
It wasn't your bosses and co-workers at the GAB that did that. It wasn't Kevin Kennedy and Jonathan Becker and Shane Falk.
Correct.
But the
That all resulted out of the John Doe 1 investigation, which started as an investigation into the county executive's office. And in collecting that evidence, the prosecutors came across communications which they felt indicated that there may have been illegal campaigning going on in state offices. And that's when they asked the GAB to look into it.
The DOJ report makes reference to the relativity software that was used to track the data. Did you have access to relativity?
No.
You did not?
No. No. In the John Doe 1 investigation, I reviewed evidence, and that was specifically related to the railroad executive who was convicted of basically laundering campaign contributions through employees. And so I was actively involved in reviewing evidence in that investigation. I was not involved at all in reviewing evidence for the John Doe 2 investigation.
What did you learn from the DOJ's December report?
Well, I learned about a lot of evidence I wasn't aware of.
Such as?
Well, the evidence related to Senator Vukmir's email, all of the...
You were not aware that the dragnet, gotten 150 emails between Senator Vukmir and her daughter?
Had no idea.
Is that improper?
To
gather that much information?
Well, I think you have to look at anybody who's familiar with law enforcement and investigations, I think knows that when a search warrant is executed and sent to Yahoo or Google, and which requests emails, all emails from an individual, because there was potential communication with other parties that were being investigated, Yahoo, Google, they're not going to sift through all the emails. They're going to turn over everything. And it's up to the professional investigators to sift through what's relevant and not relevant. And again, all of that evidence, relevant or not relevant, was kept confidential by the GAB for 5 years. And so, it's a fact of what happens when a search warrant is executed. And I think anybody who's familiar with law enforcement procedures and prosecutions would realize that.
So you learned about the volume of information and data with cell phone records financial records, bank account records from the DOJ report?
Yep. I mean,
what was your reaction then as an attorney and as someone who's been involved in state government for X number of years? I think 9 since you came back. Your reaction?
Well, my reaction was, as a trained attorney, having worked in prosecutor's office, my reaction was, well, that's a surprise. It's going to be a surprise to people. But it's not necessarily unusual that a lot of extraneous records are collected as part of an investigation. Somebody needs to review the evidence, and you don't know what the evidence is unless you sift through what's relevant and not relevant.
Did they seek too much information? Or is all that data and materials justified?
That's really a decision of the district attorneys. I mean, I don't know what was in their minds, what factors they were looking, what potential leads they were looking at the time of the investigation. So, it's difficult for me to sit here and second guess legal decisions that were made in the course of investigation that I was not involved in. It's kind of a little Monday morning quarterbacking.
If your name wasn't on the subpoenas, seeking the subpoenas, whose name was?
I assume it was the district attorney's. I, to be honest, don't know who's.
Was it anybody at GAB?
Are you talking about for the
$1.5 million emails and the financial records and the cell phone records?
Right. All of that evidence came from the district attorney's office, so I would assume it would be either Milwaukee District Attorney John Chisholm or somebody on his staff.
In hindsight, were there mistakes made by the GAB and John Doe 2?
I think it's hard to make a generalization. I think folks have to remember that this was a preliminary investigation to determine whether there was any wrongdoing taking place. The campaign finance laws that the GAB was operating under had been in place and had been understood to prohibit a certain kind of conduct. After this investigation was concluded, the Supreme Court changed the interpretation of the law. The legislature changed the law. I mean, to me, that's an indication that the law as it stood prohibited one type of conduct, which is not prohibited now. And so I think overall, given the scope of the of the evidence and the seriousness of the issue. I think that the Government Accountability Board did the best job it could under difficult circumstances to analyze really complex legal issues, make recommendations to the board of six former judges, and they used their best legal judgment in directing the staff.
The Attorney General report concluded that there was a bias against Governor Walker and other GOP strategists and organizations and people supporting Governor Walker. Do you think, was there a GOP bias that you detected?
No, there was not.
Even when there's a file labeled opposition research?
Well, that's frankly one I think it would be humorous. I think it was not so serious. The allegation in the Attorney General report that the GOP staff labeled files opposition research, the Attorney General investigators I know were told by people who were interviewed how that happened, and that information was not put in the Attorney General's report. Instead, we received a report that raised a lot of questions that could have been answered. They had access to people who had information, all the documents. They could have asked the prosecutors who collected the information in the first place how those the labeled opposition research ended up in those files. And I think it's it takes a pretty dark mind, frankly, to think that state employees who are charged with these serious responsibilities are going to collect political information to be used against state elected officials. It's just, to me, it's beyond the pale. It didn't happen, and I think it's an unfair accusation.
Is the Attorney General then, as a Republican office holder, trying to help people like Leah Vukmir get elected to the U.S. Senate? Is that a political report by the Attorney General?
I'm not going to get into the politics or any political motivations. You know, we try very hard. Our staff is nonpartisan by statute. I'm looking at it as its value as a legal document. And frankly, I mean, as an officer of the court, submitting a report to a John Doe judge when the other side has not had the opportunity or anybody else has had the opportunity to provide any additional evidence, it's not a report that I would have filed as an attorney, I'll put it that way.
When one of the targets of John Doe 2 or 3, to use the Attorney General's term, filed a legal document, mm-hmm. were you involved in drafting GAB's response to that document?
No, I mean only to if I were, it was only to the extent again of reviewing, editing word choices. I had plenty of other things on my plate, frankly, in trying to administer elections, the photo ID law, and so, as I said, it was just not, that was not one of my primary duties at the time. So I could not name every document that I reviewed or edited, but I was not the person who was assigned any task of drafting any either pleadings or responses to party pleadings.
At any point, did you raise any concerns or objections to the amount of information being sought as part of the John Doe 2?
I'm sure I didn't because I wasn't really involved. I wasn't keeping track of how much was there, what was being looked at, what all the arguments were. It would have been out of place or for me to interject myself in a process that I was not involved in and say, hey, by the way, I think we ought to do something else. As I said, that was not my role at the time.
You ran as a Democrat for the Assembly in the 1990s, mm-hmm. twice. Is trying to deny you this position result of that? Are you still paying the price for once running as a Democrat in 92 and 94, correct?
Right, 92 right. and 94. Lost both times. Learned, even though I'd been involved in campaigns before, learned that running for the state assembly is a very physically, mentally, emotionally exhausting process. I think it sort of beat the politics out of me, frankly. We had a very close election in 1994. Very few people have said that that's the reason that they would be opposing my confirmation. I would hope, I mean, that was to show my age over 20 years ago. People are not the same at age 30 as they are at 53. Beyond that, I've had many experiences, professional experiences, personal experiences, since that time where I have removed myself from politics, representing municipalities completely nonpartisan. I don't think either party has a monopoly on good ideas or, frankly, bad conduct. I just haven't been involved in politics. And in addition, I think those experiences running as a candidate, working on a congressional campaign, a presidential campaign, I worked in Congress. You know, I worked in the state legislature. I had an excellent private law practice career. I worked as a trained Zamboni driver. All those experiences, all those experiences, particularly the ones in politics, helped me to understand what candidates go through, what their staff goes through. Working in the Congress and working in the legislature helped me understand what challenges legislative staff have if they're trying to draft legislation that's going to be effective. So I'm proud of all the experiences I've had, and I think there's been plenty of separation between what my political past was and what I've done at the GAB. I made it a point when I was hired at the GAB to make sure that my bosses and the board knew of that involvement. The Elections Commission knew that from the start. The people that work with me closely every day, they've always known that. This is not a surprise.
Do you still consider yourself a Democrat?
I voted for Republicans and Democrats, so I'm not actively involved in any party.
The DOJ report makes a contempt referral to the current John Doe judge. Wouldn't you be, by the way, let's make it clear, that contempt referral does not mm-hmm. include you. Mm-hmm. But if there are contempt proceedings in Door County Circuit mm-hmm. Court, wouldn't mm-hmm. you be a witness to that? And wouldn't that be a distraction with four major elections coming up?
Well, it would certainly be a distraction. Whether or not I was a witness, I guess, would depend on whoever brings the contempt motion or the parties. But, I mean, it's a good point. We are already in the elections where we have ballots that are being issued now for the February election that's coming up. We will go right into the April election, and candidates for the partisan elections in the fall are already campaigning, already seeking assistance from our staff regarding nomination papers and so forth. So this entire year is booked with elections. We have enough distractions when we have litigation that is still may change the rules for the elections. We don't know what's coming down with that, possibly redistricting. Additional developments about the photo ID law. You know, the original legislation that created the Elections Commission called for the administrator's term to end in an odd-numbered year. And I think there's a sound reason for that. That's when we only have two elections. And I hope that that's something that the Senate will keep in mind.
Well, at a morning press conference by groups that would like you to be confirmed, they were asked whether Senator Fitzgerald has a majority of members of his caucus mm-hmm. to deny your confirmation. What's your understanding with senators like Senator Coles and Mark Lyon and mm-hmm. Senator Olson?
I'm talking to every senator that I can and trying to get some answers. I don't have a head count. I know that, as I said, when I initially met with senators, there was widespread support for my appointment. The current commission has reaffirmed its support.
And there are three Republicans and three Democrats and unanimously have asked for a confirmation hearing for you. Excuse me, I interrupted you. Go ahead, finish.
No, that's absolutely correct. And in fact, five Republican-appointed commissioners have voted in support of me. We had two original members who resigned, Don Millis and Steve King, who's now ambassador to the Czech Republic. Commissioner,
he was
Knutson.
From Milton. You practiced in Milton. You were close to Mr. King.
Well, I knew him.
Working relationship.
Right. I knew him. I was involved in the Milton Kiwanis when we presented him with a Citizen of the Year award. He was a prominent business person in the community, and so he was actively involved. And I knew him in my capacity as an attorney and the city attorney for Milton. Commissioner Knutson. He was the prime author of the legislation to
it blew up GAB
and created the Elections Commission.
Yes.
He has supported me. I appreciate the support of all the commissioners and our staff and the clerks.
Well, Senator Fitzgerald has said that the Senate may vote on the 23rd mm-hmm. to vote on your confirmation and go back to what he said, never. Let me ask two questions. If there's no vote on the 23rd, then you will continue as acting or interim administrator.
Correct.
Won't that be awkward given the cloud of uncertainty over your future, Mike?
It won't be awkward for me. We have a job to do, and we'll keep continuing to do that job. I'll keep coming to the office and working with our staff, working with the clerks, working with the Department of Homeland Security, the FBI, securing our election system. So as long as the commission, you know, wants me there to be leading the agency, that's what I'll do.
And the other side of that, of course, if on Tuesday the vote is against your confirmation, mm-hmm. will you be out of a job?
It's a good question. I looked briefly at the statutes. I think it's a little bit of uncharted territory, what the effect of a no vote would be. It's a little bit unclear as to whether or not that actually creates a vacancy in the position, or if only the commission can remove the administrator. So that's something I've sort of put off, and we'll worry about it if that comes to pass.
If the Senate votes against your confirmation, it sounds like you just said you might be a lawsuit.
Well, I didn't say that. I said we'll need to take a look at it. We'll need to look at it. I think, you know, members of the commission have sort of implied that that's something that they might look at. You know, I only have a certain number of hours in the day. I'm trying to focus not only on the job, but in making sure that senators are comfortable with where I'm coming from, what my background and credentials are, and the skills that I bring to the job.
But when the GAB was created by then-Representative Knudsen and others, mm-hmm. didn't it say confirmation required of the state elections commissioner, or administrator, by the full Senate? So my question is, if there's no confirmation, do you still have a job? I'm not a lawyer, and you know
right,
that.
Right, right, right. It's you know, I think the actual wording, not to get too far into the legal weeds, but it says that the appointment is subject to the advice and consent of the Senate. And then in the very next sentence, I believe it talks about if a vacancy occurs, the commission can appoint an interim administrator. Never specifically seems to tie together the concept that a no vote on confirmation creates a vacancy. Frankly, I don't know how a judge would look at that, but as I said, that's something for me to worry about another day.
If you're not the administrator of the State Elections Commission, mm-hmm. and there is a new administrator, what is the potential impact on the four statewide general elections, primary, spring, mm-hmm. August, and November, in terms of administering and running elections?
Well, first of all, I think there's an enormous learning curve. We are going to be providing a letter to the Senate later on today to outline everything that's involved in this job. Just knowing, you know, what the process is, who the people are that are involved, what has to be done at one time. We have at the same time, we have 1,853 municipal clerks need to be communicated with, need to be provided guidance. You get to a position in a job where some things are almost second nature. And to go back and say, okay, we're going to start at the beginning now, it's a little bit mind-boggling to think what all has to be grasped. And to put somebody in that position when elections are right upon them, I think would be a challenge, frankly. The other development we've had just recently is that the Department of Homeland Security has made it a priority to provide security clearances for state chief election officials. I applied for that back in October. It took the department 3 months to provide me with interim security clearance. Somebody new stepping in to this position would need to go through that process again, and I presume would be at least a 3 or 4 month process to gain interim clearance. And that's becoming increasingly important, obviously, with when we have continued threats by foreign government actors against U.S. elections. This is serious stuff, and I think that what's discouraging to me is to hear reasons being stated that are frankly not serious, petty, vindictive, whatever adjectives you want to use. So I really hope that the senators will take a look at the comprehensive letter we're going to provide them and think about their position on confirmation.
And any Republican senator who says you shouldn't be confirmed because of the GAB, their term, witch hunt against Governor Walker and his supporters, your role in that, explain that one last time. Final question.
Very limited role in that. It was a role that was appropriate to my position. Our focus has been, since I began as a division administrator for elections in 2013, it's on administering the elections. Our commission does not, rarely gets involved in political issues. We don't do investigations like the Ethics Commission does. I think that senators of either party have very little to be worried about in the way of the Elections Commission conducting investigations or conducting itself in a way that the legislature would not appreciate.
Thank you. Michael Haas is Administrator of the State Elections Commission. He'd like to keep that job. Michael, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
Thank you.